In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have not only this incredible gospel, but we have a remembrance of St. John Climacus. Climacus, the word for ladder, named for the book he wrote. The fourth Sunday, we always celebrate his memory. We don't know what his actual family name is. We didn't catch his last name. We just call him by ladder. It's incredible. He was born in the late 6th century, became a monk at 16. If you can remember what you were like at 16. And if you could have even, I'll just tell you what the deacon said. He said they shouldn't have probably given me a driver's license at 16. So, but eventually he becomes the abbot of the Orthodox monastery in Mount Sinai. A fellow abbot named John of the monastery of Rathu, also in the Egyptian desert, a friend of his, asked him to give him a teaching, to write something down for his monks, and that they would say could learn to live, to be Christian, and to be pleasing to God, and keep the commandments, and fight the spiritual warfare, and overcome the devil, like write something for us. Listen to the amazing story of this amazing book. The Ladder of Divine Ascent was written in the 7th century. In the 8th, it had been translated into Syriac. In the 11th century, into Georgian, Armenian, and Slavonic. By the 14th century, Latin, Romanian, Spanish, and Portuguese. An 11th century typikon, which is like how the church does the services, and a 12th century typikon, both required that all Orthodox monasteries everywhere would read it during Lent. After the scriptures and the service books, St. John's work was the most read volume in all of Christendom. In the 11th century, St. Simeon, the new theologian, as a young man, found a copy of the book in his family's library and started to study it. And it goes on, and I actually have it all here, but I'm going to spare you. It just goes on about the importance of this book. But one of the most amazing things I did not know, St. John's work was the first book to be published in the New World. What is now Mexico City, in the year 1537, under the auspices of Don Juan Pablos, entitled La Escala de San Juan Climaco. The first book in the New World was The Ladder of Divine Ascent. Incredible. And although it's written for monks and nuns, it's truly written for them. As many of you know, we've struggled to read it every other Great Lent. So it's not only written for monks. It's not only written for nuns. Father Tom Hopko says the latter is a book for every struggling Christian. Everyone who wants to believe, who wants to pray, who wants to fast. Everyone who wants to go in that life of the Spirit and overcome the devil, he says, and to appropriate the victory of God in Christ by the Holy Spirit in a human life, it's a wonderful book for anyone and a great profit for all of us. So St. John, during the Lenten season, is lifted up on the fourth Sunday of Great Lent. The songs of the church are about him and about his book, about his teaching, so that we can find our way to salvation as sinful fallen creatures. The work is divided into 30 chapters, 30 rungs of the ladder, one for each year of Christ's earthly life. And I'm going to read you the titles, and then we'll move on from the book a little bit. Just a little bit. A little bit. Not a lot. It goes from one virtue to the next. And then the vices that are also, like, spoken of, it tries to deal with them to show us where they, like, the mother of the vice and the daughter of the vice. Like, what gives birth to it and what it gives birth to. So here they are. It begins with the fundamental break with the world. Renunciation, detachment, and remembrance of death. And exile. And then it goes through the virtues of obedience, true repentance, remembrance of death, and godly mourning. The next rungs are generally the non-physical vices. Anger, malice, slander, talkativeness. I thought about just doing the whole sermon on that, which would be like an oxymoron kind of thing, but falsehood, despondency. Next are the physical passions: gluttony, lust, avarice, poverty, and then the non-physical passions, insensitivity, sleep, alertiveness, fear, vainglory, and pride, blasphemy. And then he goes to the higher virtues, simplicity, humility, and discernment. And then we transition into the contemplative life, stillness, prayer, and dispassion, and finally, faith, hope, and love. There won't be a test on those, but like just to get like the feel of how this thing moves, it's absolutely incredible. But reading through the book, the main theme of the whole thing is adding virtue to our lives. Adding kindling to the divine fire, to the divine love in the heart, and becoming all flame. The more honest we are about our lives, the more we begin to realize how estranged we are from Christ, who is the life. The life has come into the world to save us from death, and this is a painful thing to come to grips with spiritually, especially when we come to accept this, that it's by our own choice that we've separated ourselves from life, from the life, from Christ, who is the life. That life is a living fire within us. And the more we feed the fire, the stronger it grows. Surely this is what Christ was referring to when he said, I have come to cast fire upon the earth and would that it was already kindled. What else would he mean? He came to light us up. The Holy Spirit in our hearts, that flame would grow. Here's a quote from St. John Climacus. We shall be faced by toil until the divine fires enters into our sanctuary and the force of bad habit will no longer exist within us. That dividing line of good and evil goes right through the heart, and the battle's going on right there between good and evil, between the fire of God that we can grow by adding prayer to prayer, by adding virtue to virtue, by sacrificing more, by fasting, services, confession, communion, almsgiving. We add fire to the fire. If anyone's ever built a fire, it has to start slow. You cannot start with big logs. If you put big logs in a big grouping, and like, you know, I mean, I guess if you had like gasoline. But if you don't, you can't just light it with a match. They just won't light. It starts small, and you add kindling to it. Little by little, just more dry, like parts of the log, right? Dry leaves, dry things to it. You just add a little, a little, a little. It gets big enough, you can add logs. Once it's going, it'll consume. It will take down a forest. It'll take down everything. It'll burn the whole place. What did Jesus say? I've come to cast fire upon the earth. Would that it was already kindled. It's got to start. Now, if you've ever built a fire and separated the logs, the fire cools off really quick. What we're doing in the spiritual life is adding fuel to the fire. We're adding virtue to the fire. You know this, like how easy it is to cool off the spiritual life. Spend an evening watching TV and see how you feel. Spend an hour on Facebook and report how the fire is going spiritually for you. You'll be depressed. I mean, who hasn't scrolled for too long? And at the end of it goes, man, I am so ready to say more prayers. You know, you scroll for a while and you're like, if you're even in touch with yourself, you're out of it. You've cooled the fire. You've separated the logs. And the Lord is saying, kindling, little by little, prayer to prayer, virtue to virtue, add to it. St. John Climacus, the last thing he says in his book, chapter 30, step 30, the 30th rung on the ladder. He says this, "Ascend, brothers, ascend eagerly, and be resolved in your hearts to ascend the ladder of virtues." So let's kindle divine love. Our love is only a spark at first. Let's fan the flame and yearn to become a consuming fire. How can we do it? How can we do it? St. John writes, "The keeping of the commandments is a sign of love, and the beginning of love is an abundance of humility." We heard this from Dorotheos this past Wednesday night, that it's the spiritual life starts with humility, and you go through the whole thing, and when you get to the like top of the spiritual life, it's humility again. Because you see that life that God has given us, that is Himself in our hearts, that we have separated ourselves from that life. And we have to admit to that. And then we get to the end of it, and we're humbled by the whole thing, and the Lord reveals our sins to us more, but He also does an incredible thing. He reveals to us His mercy at the same time. As we see our own sins, the Lord goes ahead and lets us see that He's merciful too. And it goes up and up and up. He reveals more. You confess your sins, and the Lord kind of clears that out, and then there's more to confess. And what does He do at the same time? He convinces you that He loves you. What does the devil do? He doesn't love you. He won't accept you. This is what the devil says. Your sins are unique. The priest can't be trusted. You know, whatever you hear the devil say to you, you know? God's not listening. God doesn't exist. I mean, what does the devil say? And what does the Lord say? Come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. It is love for the Lord which moves mountains. It's love for the Lord which makes the wretched of the earth into children of heaven. Love for the Lord motivates one to say, "Forgive me for what I said, for what I did, and for what I thought." Love for the Lord inspires us to struggle, to be attentive in prayer, to add to one's prayers, to ascend, to go up higher. Love for the Lord arouses us to help our brothers and our sisters, to sacrifice more. The very first step. He says this, "So who is the faithful and wise one? He who has kept his fervor unabated and to the end of his life has not ceased daily to add fire to fire." To add fervor to fervor, to add zeal to zeal, to add love to love. Who is the wise and faithful one? The one who's building a fire. We fall short. I fall short of that fire. Bishop Basil, when he ordained me to the priesthood, told me to keep the fire burning. The zeal and the love for God. That's the call. That's the call. Lent is rolled out here every spring to get us ready for the resurrection. You know, we've had the first half is behind us. This is the first Sunday of the second half of Lent. And the first time we hear Jesus going to Jerusalem, we heard it in the gospel today, at the end of it. He's going to Jerusalem, and He tells us what's going to happen. He's going to die. He's going to rise from the dead. We hear in the middle of Lent the proclamation of the resurrection. That is Jesus saying, come with me on the journey of Lent, reveal your sins, confess your sins. And what does He do at the same time? He shows us how merciful He is. He raises them both. He raises us to awareness of our own sins, and He raises us to an awareness of His own mercy. And the life we're living is to add fire to fire. Take out everything in your life that separates the logs. Anything that cools the heart, leave it behind. Life is way too short to be playing that game. It is way too short. We may not live through the day. We may not see tomorrow. Life is short, and it's time. Anything that separates the logs, cut it out. I love that He says it. We shall be forced by toil until the divine fires enter into our sanctuary and the force of bad habit will no longer exist. No more bad habits. Let's climb. Let's ascend. Let's love the Lord enough to try things that are beyond our capacity. I have to find that quote. That's him. That's St. John Climacus too. Oh man, where is it? All right, we'll have to trust me. That's the quote. He said it. Let's try things that are beyond our capacity. Love God enough to try things that are beyond your capacity. Let's climb. Let's ascend. Love of God is the motivating force. Let's add to our self-sacrifice. Let's charge into the fight with joy and love and not be afraid of our enemies. Without speculating why people do things, without thinking about what other people are thinking, let's ascend. St. Gregory Palamas, who we remembered 2 weeks ago on Sunday, Deacon Chris, I think, preached on Palamas this year. His dying words, St. Gregory Palamas' dying words, were, "To the heights, to the heights." And today the church is telling us to climb. Here's how it ends, the whole quote, and I'll end the sermon with it. "Ascend, my brothers, ascend eagerly. Let your hearts resolve to climb. Listen to the voice of the one who says, 'Come up, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of our God, who makes our feet to be like the feet of the deer, who sets us up on high places that we may be triumphant on the road. Run, I beseech you, with him who said, let us hasten until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of God and to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He who, when he was baptized in his 30th year of his visible age, fulfilled the 30th step of the spiritual ladder, since God is indeed love, to whom be praise, dominion, power, in whom is and was and will be the cause of goodness throughout the endless ages. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen."